We are starting a new study this week. We finished 2 Corinthians last week. And actually, this series intentionally follows 2 Corinthians for a reason. You'll see it here in a second. But I do want to mention before we get into this that there is a series coming up, because this is going to be a shorter series, coming up this summer that we're, I think at this point, familiar with, which is this Q&A series. I have offered this each summer thinking that maybe, you know, we won't do any weeks of the Q&A, or we might, you know, just do 1 or 2 weeks. And then every week I get enough questions that it basically takes the whole summer. So we'll see how it goes this summer. But on the back table there are these little cards that have a question mark on this side and some lines on the back side. This is to submit questions for that series. So these could be questions that are, you know, related to some biblical passage you have questions about, a biblical principle you have questions about, maybe some sort of spiritual question, or maybe in a practical thing of like something going on in your family that you have questions about, anything like that that you have questions about, just put it on this card, stick it in the basket that's there, and I will try to get to them this summer. So those are there. I'll remind you of it in the next couple weeks too. But for the next month, we're going to be in this series that it's called The Authentic Christian Life. Now, just saying that probably should bring some remembrance of our time in 2 Corinthians. I wanted to follow 2 Corinthians with this series because we talked, 2 Corinthians had a lot of good stuff, but in some ways it speaks to a lot of different issues about the authentic Christian life, but doesn't necessarily have one particular passage that kind of brings it all together. And so my goal in this series, it's going to be a topical series. We're not going to be going through any specific passage. We're going to look at a lot of them. Is to look at what the practical day-to-day Christian life should look like according to what the Bible reveals. Day-to-day, moment by moment, what should our lives reflect? And what does the authentic Christian life look like moment by moment? There is an inauthentic Christian life. We talked about that toward the beginning of 2 Corinthians. I remember when we used to take students to Mexico every year in youth ministry, we would have one day where we'd go to the stores there. They had this street that was just full of these stores that would sell a bunch of stuff to tourists. And some of the stores had sunglasses, and they had like Calvin Klein and Oakley sunglasses that were like $8, $10, $12. And I was like, wow, like these are like $100 glasses. Like, I'm getting a major deal here, right? What they didn't share with you is that just because they had the Oakley logo on them did not mean that they were authentic Oakleys, right? And they definitely weren't. The girls would typically buy jewelry there, you know, authentic silver jewelry, and within a couple days their finger was green, right? Because it was not authentic. So I think we as believers want the real deal thing. I know we do, because the way God has transformed us, we are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We are those people. And so we have a desire to live consistently with the biblical picture of what authentic Christianity is. I think sometimes we don't have a clear picture of that. And so what I want to do in this series is just kind of lay out some principles that I think will help us. I know for me, this has been helpful for me in my life to think about these principles as I go throughout my day, and whether my walk is lining up with the walk that's revealed in Scripture. The key verse that I think brings all of this that we're going to look at together into one verse is out of 1 Peter 4:11. And it says this. It says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the actual words of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God provides, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let me pray and we'll get into this. Lord, it is good to be here this morning. I am just sitting here this morning just very, very thankful for your protection of Claire and just the opportunity we had to see her last night. Lord, just so thankful that you love her, that you took care of her, that she loves you. And it's just, I'm just so appreciative of all that you do in our lives and all the ways that we can trust you in the midst of difficult things. And as we get into this study this morning, I pray that you would you would do what you want to do with this series. You do what you want to do with these verses that we'll look at. I think some of these things will likely challenge us if we allow them to, these words to challenge us. And Lord, help us to be challenged and to walk more in line with your picture of what our lives are meant to look like. And to do that, we just submit to you today for whatever you want to do in us. Pray this only in me. Amen. So we're going to start with this verse. 1 John chapter 2 says this: "By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." So the first requirement of authentic Christianity is to know him. Now, the Greek word for know here is not just, it is used of knowing things. And when it's used of knowing things, it's like knowing facts about that thing, right? But anytime this word is used about knowing people, and it is used about knowing people, it's always about intimate knowledge of them, personal knowledge of them, knowledge you can only gain by really knowing that person. I really like Julia Roberts as an actress. I always have. I really like her movies. I probably know a decent amount about her life, but I don't know Julia Roberts, right? Not in this way. To know things about her is not to know her, right? Melissa, on the other hand, I know her better than probably anybody knows her. And why? Because we have been relationally knowing each other for decades, right? This is this kind of knowing. John 8 says this: "You have not come to know him." He's talking about God. This is Jesus talking about God the Father. He says, "You have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you, but I do know him and follow his word." This is Jesus saying, I know God the Father relationally, right? I know him. We have a personal, intimate relationship, me and my father do. The Greek translation of the Old Testament uses the word for know when it uses it regarding Adam and Eve. Now the man had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have obtained a male child with the help of the Lord. The man had relations. That word is to know. The man knew his wife, right? Personal, intimate contact. That's the idea here. Authentic Christianity has to start with knowing our Lord. It is impossible to live the authentic Christian life without knowing him, without having a personal relationship with him. Now, what evidence would lead us to believe that we know our Lord? Well, I think you could tell just spending time with Melissa and I that we just know each other, right? I mean, there's going to be plenty of cues that will key you into the fact that we know each other and know each other really well. I know what she thinks even before she says what she's thinking, right? She gives me certain looks, especially when we're leading worship up here, and I know exactly what that look means, right? Because I know her, right? For Jesus, it's pretty clear what he states here. How you know Jesus, because we don't know him on a physical, personal level that way, so how does that reflect in our lives? The way it's reflected in your life is if you do the things that he says. If your life reflects, you know, he's given us very, very clear instructions on how to live, and if we follow those instructions, that is a clear indicator that we know him. Now, do some people who don't know him do some of the things that bear a resemblance to the things that Jesus instructed? Yes. Lots of people, you know, don't steal things, right? Jesus said don't steal, and lots of people don't steal things. But when they don't steal things, they're not following Jesus' instructions, right? They're following some other moral code. Like, they might feel bad if they steal, or they might get thrown in jail. Like, they're following something else. They're definitely not following his instructions. They don't even care about his instructions. Now, are there some Christians who steal things? Yes, sure. And those Christians also don't care about Jesus' instructions, right? Or they wouldn't steal in that moment. They don't care in that moment, at least, about his instructions not to steal, right? But authentic Christianity is knowing him personally and caring so deeply about him that we care about what he says, that we care about his instructions. And so when he says something, we care about what he says. And our lives in turn reflect the care we have for his instructions. Does that make sense? What he's getting at. Now, I want to be clear throughout this series that we're not going to talk a lot about in and out. That's really not what I'm talking about. And I know as evangelical Christians, it's hard for us not to talk about in and out because we are so caught up with in and out, right? With whether we're in or whether we're out. That's not the discussion here. The discussion is for us who are in, how do we reflect what our lives are supposed to look like for those who are in? Does that make sense? And for us who are in, our lives should reflect that we respect his instructions and we care about them. Verse 4, he says, the one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. Obviously, something cannot be authentic if it's not authentic, right? So for someone who goes, you know what, I put on the label Christian, but my life shows no indication that I follow Jesus, shows no indication that I even care about Jesus, shows no indication that I care about anything he has ever said, maybe I care a little bit about like what people's perception of me is, so I care about that, but that's not caring about Jesus, that's caring about people's perception. Like, I don't care really at all about, like, my life reflects, I can say with lip service that I care about what Jesus says, right? But my life reflects, I don't really care about what Jesus says. I would say the most reasonable answer in that scenario is that I'm not speaking true things when I say that I know him, right? That's the most obvious solution. Now, maybe it's possible that I'm a believer, I've given my life to Jesus, but I don't really understand what that means. Okay, that's possible, right? It is possible. Maybe they don't understand that Jesus calls them to certain things, right? But if that's the case, I'm missing a key element, and that's the fact that I don't really know Jesus at this point, right? Maybe I put that label on, but I don't really know him. So I want to get to know him. And maybe if you're sitting here this morning and you go, yeah, you know what, I kind of look at my life, and my life kind of demonstrates that I don't really care about what Jesus instructs. Then the answer is to get to know about what he instructs and to care about it and to pursue it. Because authentic Christianity cannot exist apart from knowing and following Jesus. It's critical. Verse 5, he says, but whoever follows his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Perfected means accomplish, or actually can mean to be made authentic, to be made genuine. And I think in this context, that would make the most sense. That true knowing God is following his word and following the love of God, which is what Jesus says. When Jesus instructs something, he's instructing on what love is. Every instruction that Jesus ever gave, every instruction that we can find in the pages of scripture that apply to us, every single one of those things are about love. That's why Jesus, when the religious leaders came to him, and they always had all these debates about, you know, what were the most important commands, because there were a lot of instructions in the Torah. Like, there's just probably 613. Like, that's a lot of instructions, right? And so, like, what's the tippity top one, right? And Jesus said, love God and love other people, because all 613 of them are about love, right? That's the whole point of the instructions, is to love God and love others. So for us, when we follow his word, when we look at something he says and we do it, we're loving. He goes on and says, by this we know we are in him. We can be certain of it. The one who says that he remains in him ought himself also walk just as he walked. Whew. The one who says that he remains in him ought himself also to walk just. I don't love ought. Maybe it's my own personal, you know, hang-ups. But ought makes it seem like some sort of a strict command, like you better do this or else, right? But really the expression here is, this is the normal expectation of the authentic Christian life. It's just the normal thing. If you're a follower of Christ, follow Christ, right? It just makes sense. It's the reasonable thing. And so if any Christian is doing something other than following Christ, we should think, and if it's us, we should think, this is odd. This is odd behavior for someone who follows Christ not to follow Christ, right? But I will say, and many of you know, I have these criticisms of the church at large. I think believers speak as if we're expected not to follow Jesus, right? Like, yeah, we try our hardest, but pretty much, yeah, everybody's not going to follow Jesus, really. Is that what he's saying here? That's not what he's saying. That's how we talk about it, but that's not what the word is saying. And by the way, I'm probably going to say that a lot this series, because I think a lot of these passages that we're going to look at, we look at it and we go, yeah, that's a good principle. But that's not really how I'm supposed to live. No. Like, let's go with what he said. And what he said is, if you know Jesus, you'll follow him. If you know Jesus, you'll love like him. That's just the way it works. So if you don't follow him and you're a follower of Christ, that should be odd. There should be a question. You should go, something's wrong, I need to figure this out. Right. Authentic Christianity is living like he lived, walking as he walked. Walk is just a New Testament euphemism for living your life, okay? Because typically they would walk throughout their day, right? So just go throughout your day, go throughout your life. So his life is the example of what we should be doing. So we need to look at what he did. What did he do? How did he handle this kind of situation? What would he think about this sort of situation, and how might he handle this situation? And then try to follow that. And his word is our example for that, because his word reflects his character. So if the Bible says something, if there's a biblical standard there, that's a Jesus standard. The gospel record makes it very clear who Jesus was. Makes it very clear how he interacted with people. And our job is to try to follow that in step with him. So authentic Christianity is really living moment by moment, that our moments would line up with the word of God. And when we disobey, it doesn't somehow affect our standing with God. Again, we're not talking about in and out here, right? It just means we're not living the authentic Christian life. We're not living the real deal thing. Because the real deal thing lives life like Jesus would live life. So the point on your handout, if you want to fill it in, is authentic Christianity is living your life as Jesus would live your life. How would Jesus be an employee at your workplace? How would Jesus be, if he had your job, what would that look like? If Jesus was the mom in your family that you're the mom of, how would he mom your kids, right? How would Jesus be a brother to your brother or a brother to your sister? That's the authentic Christian life. Ephesians chapter 5 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So the context of this, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, right at the end of Ephesians chapter 4, the last paragraph is a list of like behaviors to add to your life and remove from your life. And he ends kind of summing it up with this. He says, therefore, be imitators of God. That's what that list is about. Anytime you find a list of behaviors in the New Testament and you're looking through that, basically it's saying, this is what Jesus is like. This is what our God is like. And then when it says not to do something, it's like, this is not what our God is like. So don't live that way, because that's not what our God is like, right? Be imitators of God. And you notice he says, be imitators of God and walk as Jesus walked. Right? And the reason for that is Jesus' character is God's character, right? Jesus is the greatest picture for us, because he is God in a bod, right? He is God in flesh. He actually lived a human life. And so it's such a great opportunity for us to get a snapshot of what that looks like. I don't know about you, but I learned so much better when someone demonstrates something to me, That's just how I learn. Like I can understand the concepts, but if someone shows me how to do something, I can usually mimic that thing that they're showing me how to do, right? Jesus showed us. And he just says, mimic me. Do what I did. Walk in the way. Walk in the way of love. Live your path, your life on the path of love. How many of us have ever played the game of life? You know, with the little spinny thing in the middle, and yeah. So on the game of life, like, you've got this path that you've got to stay on, right? And every so often, like, there's a path that branches out this way and goes this way, and you can kind of choose which path you want to go down or whatever. But the thing about the game of life is, in order to play the game of life, you've got to follow the path, right? I've played with some, like, four-year-olds who don't want to stay on the path, right? They just want to jump straight over to the mountain. This is a really cool little mountain over here. I want to go there. No, you got to stay on the path. They don't get it, right? And we, as believers, have a path to walk, and that path is the path of love. Now, sometimes love can look a couple different ways. You'll have a choice to make. Both are loving, right? Make that choice. But you got to stay on the path, because the path is love. John says this. Oh, there's a little picture of life in case you forgot what it looks like. John says this. He says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love is such a basic part of the Christian life that it's basically a synonymous thing. Christians love, they just do. And so if your life is a life of not loving anyone at any time, it just doesn't make sense, right? Or if you have certain relationships where you're not loving people, like, that just doesn't make sense. Because Christians love, that's just what they do. Why? Because the God who lives inside of them loves. That's just what he does. Well, how did Jesus love? He gave himself up for us. I don't have this verse in here. I'll just read it. This is 1 John 4:10. It's a couple verses beyond this. Mike read it this morning. It says, "In this is love, not that we loved God." Let's just get it out of the way right now. God's love is not about the fact that we loved God, so he loved us back. That is not God's love. And that is not the way of love that we're supposed to walk. We don't love because other people love us. We love them, full stop. There's no conditions placed on it. God didn't love us first. God didn't love us because we loved him. We didn't love him. But that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, the full payment for our sins, not holding back a thing. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Again, that word ought sounds like, oh, you better, but that's not what it's saying. It just makes sense that if God loved us, that we would love others. That if that's the way God loved us, which is not this reciprocal kind of love, but this one-way kind of love where we're just pouring out love all the time, then it just makes sense that his followers would love that way, right? Jesus' love was not mutual. Jesus' love was not a two-way street. Well, you got to give me something in this relationship. No. One way. All the time. It's a one-way expression of love. It's a giving of yourself away all the time. Authentic Christianity gives itself away. It just does. To love people. Point on your hand out if you want to fill it in. Oh, I went too far. There we go. Authentic Christianity is loving as Jesus loves. Authentic Christianity is loving as Jesus loves. Again, if we're not loving, this should just be a moment where we go, this is odd. There's something not right here. Because I'm an authentic believer and I'm not loving, there's something wrong. Something doesn't make sense. I need to address this in some way. 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. Also good. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. We all have lives. We all have things that we do in our lives. We all have rights, right? Things that we are typically entitled to. But authentic Christianity says, you know what? My life, my rights, I'm willing to put those things aside for someone else's life, for someone else's rights. I'm actually willing to give up my rights to preserve another's rights. Now, I know this is not an American idea, right? If your rights are being tread on, you better stand up and fight for your right to do whatever it is you want to do, right? But we're Americans second, right? Or maybe fifth, I don't know, whatever. It's down the list, right? We are of God's kingdom first. And God's kingdom says we are those, authentic believers are those who set our rights aside for others' rights. We set our life aside to give life to others. That's just what we do. Imitating God's love, and it has to be defined. God's love has to be defined, because what I could tell you, am I going to say this again? I probably won't say this again. Okay, in the progressive Christian movement, which you guys know I'm critical of, they just redefine love all the time. They just do that because it's easy to do that. Our culture redefines love all the time, right? If we're going to live with God's kind of love, we've got to define what God's kind of love is, right? We've got to be very clear about that. And imitating God's love is not about making others feel good, right? It might make others feel good when we love them, probably will, but it's not about that. It's not about deep affection for another person, although that kind of love is great, but that's not God's kind of love. God's kind of love is a commitment of the will to do what's best for the other person. It's a choice. It's seeking God's will for the person you love. Not our will, not their will, but his will for them. That's love. And at our own expense. That's the key part of what he's trying to say here. It's doing what's best for them at our own expense. When it hurts us to do so. When it's uncomfortable for us to do so. When we have to lose so that they can win. That's God's kind of love. Those other forms of love are fine. Like, great. But if you're going to demonstrate God's kind of love, it's always about giving yourself away. It's always about laying down your life so that others can have life. That's Christ's way of love. And he showed us, right? Again, it was this thing where he's like, this is how you do it. And we're like, okay, I guess that's the way to do it, right? If you're standing up for any rights, make it for the rights of someone else. If you're trying to protect freedoms, protect the freedoms of others. This love that we're meant to imitate is not others making our lives better. I'm thankful when people do that for me. Great, right? That's not God's love. It is also not 50-50, which is what most people think is the highest form of love. Hey, when we have a relationship and you can give a little and I can give a little, this is gonna be great. That's not God's love. God's love is 100. It's a giving of myself. Well, that doesn't sound great. It's the way of love. I'm going to date myself here. There was a song in the 90s by Michael W. Smith. Anybody? Michael W. Smith? Come on. Yeah. Melissa, it's her favorite. He said, God's love isn't love until you, honey, give it away. That's when love shows up. You want to know if you're loving? Look at your life and go, am I giving myself away? Is that happening in my relationships? Or are others giving away themselves away to me? And it's this one-way street, but it's all about me. Or is it this, I got them 50-50, like if they're not doing their part, I'm not going to do my part. That's not God's love. Look at your life and go, am I giving myself away? And then we know, hey, the authentic Christian life, it loves in a way that gives itself away. The point on your handout, if you want to fill it in, is authentic Christianity is giving up our lives for others as Jesus gave up his life for us. Authentic Christianity is giving up our lives for others as Jesus gave up his life for us. 1 Peter 2 says this. It says, for you have been called for this purpose. Let me just stop there and just say everything that we've talked about, and again, I'm going to repeat this probably a lot this series, it is actually what we're called to. There's this weird thing, I think it has something to do with our postmodern minds and the way that we think about things. Like we think, when God says, hey, this live this way, we think, oh, that's a nice idea, I'll try. That's not what the Bible is calling us to. It's not like, maybe, I'll give it a shot. I've heard people say, yeah, when Jesus says, like, do this, it's like the ideal, and we're supposed to shoot for it so that we, like, reach less than it. Really? Like, at least this verse, like, let's just look at it. Have we been called for less than this purpose that he's about to give us? No. He said we've been called for this purpose. This is actually what we're supposed to do as believers, okay? Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you would follow in his steps. Seems to be a theme, right? Following in Jesus' steps. I don't think we're going to like this one. I don't know if we've liked the other ones, but I don't know if we're going to like this one. That God, when God called us, he called us, every authentic Christian, to follow in his steps, to walk in his steps. Live like Christ lived. I don't know if any of you have been much up into snow. I grew up in Nevada, very close to snow. And I remember going on hikes and stuff. Like, we'd go get Christmas trees out in the woods and stuff like that. And I remember, since I was a little kid, like, if someone was walking in front of me and they were going in the snow, right? I don't know why, but I always wanted to walk right in their thing, right? Anybody ever tried that? I don't know. It's a compulsion that I have. I don't know. It's weird. But that's the idea. Like, as those steps are going, we're just following wherever he is going. That's what we do, right? Now, here is how we follow in his steps. Look at 22. He who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being abusively insulted, he did not insult in return. While suffering, he did not threaten, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. There's no question that you and I are going to be hurt by people. It will happen. It's just the way things work. Sometimes we bring it on, like we kind of stir up the problem that created the hurt, and sometimes it's completely outside of our control. People will be unkind to us. People will say unkind things to us. They might insult us or belittle us. I think we will continue to live in an increasingly marginalized as believers in our society. I hope that's not the case. I'm not hoping for that, guys, but I just feel like that's the trajectory that we're probably on. That we might actually get to a point where we will lose our job if we don't toe the line and say the lie that they want us to say. That might happen. And in all of that, authentic Christian living is responding to hurt as Jesus responded to hurt. Responding to harm and losing your job and those kinds of things as Jesus would have responded in your situation. And there's no question how Jesus would respond, because again, he's shown us how he would respond, right? He's like, do it this way. When he was being beaten and hurt, he didn't try to deceive his way out of it. He didn't try to say what he needed to say just to get out of the situation. Well, I don't really mean it. I'm just going to say this because I have to say this to get out of this. No, he didn't do that. And you could see on the day that he was crucified, he had a number of opportunities to say just what they wanted him to say, right? And he would have gotten out of it. No, he didn't do that. when they said all sorts of nasty things about him, he remained quiet. He didn't complain. He didn't get with his other disciple buddies and go, "Did you hear what they just said about me?" He didn't fire back his own insults, which, man, I can't even imagine what those would be like, right? Like, he knows everything about these guys. Like, he could have hurt them. He didn't fire back insults. I think this particular one we can learn a lot from in the area of politics. Let's not be like the rest of our country in politics, guys. We should not be firing back insults at the other tribe. While suffering, he didn't promise future retribution. He can say, "Yeah, okay, you've got your day today, but just wait. I'll get you. Or if you keep doing that, you'll regret it, so you better stop." He didn't do a lot of things that we would just expect. Like, these are just normal reactions that you would think people would have, but he didn't do those things. He didn't do a lot of things that I think we've done. I know I've done when I've been hurt. Instead, he did one thing. Did you notice? Like, this is a list of all the things he didn't do, but then he ends with one thing he did do. He entrusted himself to the one who will judge justly. What's interesting is this word "entrust himself" is the word to hand himself over, which was exactly what he did to the Roman soldiers. He handed himself over. And so he said, "You know what? I'm going to hand myself over this whole day as I'm suffering, as I'm being insulted." And actually, it was really his whole life. But particularly on that day, like, he handed himself over and said, "Lord, I'm going to trust you, your will. Here, take it. And if there's anything that needs to happen, any retribution that needs to go on, any justice that needs to go on for how I'm being treated, I'm going to entrust that justice to you. I don't need to take it. My life is yours. If my life were mine, I might need to do something about it, right? Because they need to be punished. They need to hear how wrong it is what they're doing. But my life is not mine, it's yours. It's yours to deal with." It's amazing, because I think when we're hurt and people are mistreating us, I think it's actually one of the greatest opportunities to demonstrate the life of Christ. Because nobody responds to being beaten and abused like Jesus responded to being beaten and abused. Nobody does that. Literally, there's no one out there. And so when we respond to people hurting us and hurling insults at us and being mean to us, when we respond like Christ responds, how can they not see Christ? And going back to the beginning, authentic Christians, we have been called for this purpose. This is not some ideal we need to reach someday. This is today. This is what we're called to. And if we don't respond this way as believers, this is the way we should respond. So if we don't respond this way, there's something wrong. There's something odd about that. That doesn't make sense, because authentic Christians respond to hurt like Jesus responded to hurt. That's what we do. The point on your handout, if you want to fill it in, is authentic Christianity is responding as Jesus responded when we are hurt by others. Authentic Christianity is responding as Jesus responded when we are hurt by others. I'll finish with this one. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this: "As obedient children," that's us, we're those who follow Jesus' instructions, right? "Do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance." Conform means to, like, conform to a mold. I don't know why, but I always think of a Bundt cake. Anybody know Bundt cakes? Like, you know, you pour this batter into this strangely shaped pan. I don't know why they shaped it that way. There's probably some purpose at some point why it has like a jagged edge and then a rounded edge. I don't know. It's weird. But anyway, you pour it into this thing and then you bake it, and when you flip it over, what does it look like? Looks like the pan. Looks like the mold, right? Don't conform to your old Bundt pan, right? Because that thing is rusty and terrible, right? Get the new Bundt pan out and conform to that one, because it's different. Who we were before Christ should look nothing like our current life. Now, there might be parts that look somewhat similar in some ways, but the very nature of it should be different in certain ways. Because Christ changes you over time. He changes me over time. So as we're being conformed into his image, which is something he's doing, not something we're doing, by the way, as he's conforming us into that bump pan and pushing us more and more into Christ and transforming the way we think about things and the way that we operate, that should show up in all areas of our life. So if our lives look strikingly similar to our previous lives prior to being in Christ, there's something wrong there. There's something that doesn't make sense there. Because we were ignorant then, which is not as harsh as a word. We use ignorance now, it's kind of a harsh word. At then, it just means you didn't know any better, right? We know Christ now, right? We know way better. So why would our new lives look anything like our old lives? Doesn't make sense. So I think we need to ask ourselves, like, other people around us, you know, does my work ethic at work look like the other people around me's work ethic? Do I respond to situations in the way that they respond to situations? Are my ambitions at work the same as everybody else's ambitions at work? That doesn't make sense if it is. There's something sort of not right about that. Do you parent like every other parent you know parents? And if you do, there's probably something just not quite right about that. Does your social media activity look like every other people that are out there posting things? With maybe an occasional like Bible verse you throw in there. Well, that doesn't make sense because it should be fundamentally different in some ways. And I know we want to go, well, how? Tell me what post I'm supposed to post. No, it's just, if you're different, you're different, right? And we're different. We're in Christ. Verse 15 says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Some of your behavior? No. All of your behavior. Here's the principle, like, shoot for the stars, but you're never going to reach it. You're always going to, like, fall short of it. No. He's saying, be different. Actually, the star is there. Go do the star thing, right? Like, don't shoot and sort of try to get halfway. That's not what it is. We are to be different as he is different, because it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Holy means to be set apart from the rest of the world for a specific purpose. And our purpose is following Jesus, right? Like, the rest of the world has very different priorities and very different things that they're doing, right? But we have been selected. We're like the special forces of humanity, right? And it's like, we are Jesus followers. So live as Jesus followers. It would make no sense for God to make us holy, to separate us, and for us to look just like everybody else. That doesn't make any sense. So if we look like everybody else, there's something odd. There's something not right, because we're a part of this holy group that's doing something different. Now again, I always say this, we are to be different. That's what holy means, is to be different, right? He's really, really different. Can we agree? Like, Jesus was really, really different than any other human that walked the earth. God is really, really different than anything we know, right? Just really, really different. And that's us. We're to be really, really different, right? But this doesn't mean, like, well, I'm just going to be weird so people go, oh, man, that guy's different, right? No, it's like, be a follower of Jesus and you'll be different. You just will. Follow him and you'll be different, because no one's following him. The people around you are not following him. So if you're following him, that should be very, very different. As we're obedient children, our differentness will just show up. So authentic Christianity is being holy as he is holy. Being holy as he is holy. And I will just remind us that his call here is not to try to be holy. It's not to give it a good effort to be holy. The call is, be holy. And stop settling for whatever this weird American Christianity thing, which is like, sort of give it a shot. That's not the New Testament call. Now, how you do that is a different conversation, and we'll have those conversations the next couple weeks. Let me just end with this. So we're on the first one here. Christ-like actions is the one we're on today. Christ-like actions. Authentic Christianity looks, the actions of authentic Christianity look like Christ. I'm just going to end with this verse that I started with. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God. That's our call. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. That's our supplier. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. He is the only one deserving of glory. He to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Ever, ever. Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord, we just want to be who you've made us. We just want to be these people who are following you wherever you take us. And sometimes that's just weird and different, and it's just hard for us to kind of grapple with because it's so different than our former lives. It's so different than who we were before. And so it just seems odd sometimes to follow you in certain ways, Lord, but we want to do that. We want to follow you wherever you want to take us. We want to be those who just are different because you've made us different and we live differently. And may that just bring such glory to you. May those who even don't want to follow you still see our lives and think, wow, his God is good, her God is good, because you are so good, Lord. May we walk as the authentic believers you've made us by being like Jesus. Pray this all in your name. Amen.